All right, turn with me to the book of Joel. Thank you for the opportunity to be away. Got a chance to be with a nephew that I probably haven't seen in 35 years, at least maybe closer to 40 years. And my sister had 14 children, my oldest sister. One of them passed away, I think was at birth. So he would be the second one down in that family. And I got a chance to be with him. He's been here to the church before. And he's been in our home before. And it was just good to see him. Got a chance to go out to eat with my brother-in-law. Be the last one on Roxanne's side up in New York. He's graduated. He went from a Methodist to a Baptist. So he's on his way back to Zion, slow but sure. And we had a good time with him. And then I got a great nephew up there, and he lives kind of back out in the country. And he's kind of mentally challenged. And he's such a good boy. I told Helene, I said, I just feel we all go up and visit him. So we did. And she went to the door of the house. And when he saw her, boy, he just threw his arms around her, hugged on her, and come out to the car and hugged on me. And he's he just loves to see us. And he used to be on Facebook, but he's not anymore because he kind of gets off track on things. But other than that, we had a safe trip. The weather up there was about the same as it was. I expected a snowstorm any time, but it didn't happen. And I think my wife would have rather went south than north, but we wound up north. But anyhow, thank you for that time away. It was fast, but it was good. Joel, the first chapter, we want to look this morning. We're going to read 10 verses in that chapter. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which a palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Prophet goes on and says, Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. And how, ye drinkers of wine? Because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he that hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it green bare, cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering, the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth. For the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. The prophet says, Hear this. He said, Ye old men, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days? Or even in the days of your father. Now the prophet begins this prophecy, amen, by saying, has this been in your days? And he begins this prophecy very abruptly. And before he really gets into his subject, he excites alarm and attention by intimating that he is about to announce some disastrous events that take place. such as the oldest man among them has never seen before, nor any of them learnt from the histories of ancient times. Otherwise, he said to the old man, have you ever seen this before? Now, verse 10 is our text. It says, the field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. The field is wasted by the locusts that eat up, we know, all green things, the grass, the herbs, the fruit and leaves of trees, and also by the Chaldeans, trampling on it, amen, coming through the land with their horses, and the increase of which became, amen, residue, amen, for them. The land mourneth. It was destitute. Nothing grown upon it. And to look at it was dismal to look at, and of a horrid aspect. The inhabitants of it, for the want, amen, of what the land would provide. He said the corn is wasted by the locusts, by the Assyrians, the Chaldean army, amen, before that corn could come to perfection. He said the new wine is dried up in the grape through the drought mentioned, amen. Then he mentions the oil. He said the oil languisheth. The olive trees withereth. The olives fell off, so they all failed. The corn, the wine, and the oil. Amen, he mentions. Amen. And because of these, the meat and the drink offerings. Amen. Come to an end. Therefore, the priests also were in mourning. Now, I know the prophet is talking about natural things that were to come upon Israel. But I'd like to use this text this morning as a similarity of things that have come upon people spiritually speaking. I read a poem I'd like to share, and I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of wasted years. Wasted years. And this poem, I think I read it here maybe once before. I'm not sure. But really, when I was in New York, I took the wife again up to where I was kind of raised up. The house that I was raised up in. And when I went up there, I told the wife, I said, you know, I could cry. Looking at that house. The roof was right down to tar paper. Weeds all up around the bank. We wasn't the richest people, but what we had, we took care of. Motorcycles, and it looked like a place just lived in, or just stayed in, and not really kept up. The barn and everything is just all dilapidated. There's about 18 acres there, and it was in shambles. And when I think of that, I think of this poem. Those wasted years, I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground. The fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we had lived for years. I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown with thorns and nettles everywhere. The seeds neglect had sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go when minding things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, O Lord, forgive. I have much time left for thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make him Lord of all. wasted years. And that's exactly what some people's lives consist of. Wasted years. 60, 70, 80, 90, or even 100 years with nothing to present to God but selfish living. Amen. There's a song, and I think of this song every once in a while. Some of you, I don't know, young people would never remember this song. And it was sung by a man named Red Foley. And the words are very sobering. We sing it here. I believe Sister Henry sings it once in a while, called Wasted Years. And it goes like this. Wasted years. Wasted years, oh, how foolish. As you walk in darkness and fear, turn around. Turn around. Love is calling. Keeps calling me from a life of wasted years. Have you wandered a lot on life's pathway? Have you lived without love, a life of tears? Have you searched for a greater, higher meaning? Or is your life filled with long, wasted years? Wasted years, oh, how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fear, turn around, turn around. Love is calling, keeps calling you from a life of wasted years. In our text that we read this morning, all the things that God provided to sustain the natural man were destroyed or weakened, either by insect, neighbor nations. Amen. And God, who is the origin of natural and spiritual life, stood back and allowed it to happen. Those things that took place in our text, naturally speaking, are taking place, I repeat again, spiritually in people's lives today. Ones are wasting their time, which is precious. And when you get older, you're going to realize how precious time really is. They're wasting their time, their money, their health, their influence on things of no value. And while you're doing that, the clock keeps ticking. Keeps ticking away those seconds, those minutes, and hours, taking you and I closer and closer to eternity, where the clock ceases forever. Look at the prodigal son. You've heard about the prodigal son so many times in services. But just look. Luke 15, 13 said, he wasted his substance. I'm sure when he left father's house, amen, working in the hog pen, definitely wasn't on his mind. I'm sure that wasn't on his mind at all. What was? To have a good time. A life of pleasure. No one ever leaves the church with the thought they're going to wind up in the worst condition and then when they serve God. They don't leave the church thinking they're going to wind up worse. No. But it's with the thought, I'm going to be all right. I can take care of myself. If I do get into some habits, it won't be like it was before. Little do they realize, church, when ones leave the body of Christ, you change masters. Now you're under the dictates of the flesh and Satan. But there's another side of pleasure that's not exciting. And that's the reaping part. Amen. Sin is pleasure. The Bible says that. But it's seasonal. When pleasure turns to habit, ruination, and crowds out the good life and takes over your life completely. Do ones ever think about the wasted years they spend? I doubt it. Just think of the years we spent in sin before we were saved. I spent 27 years in sin before I was saved, and they're wasted years. Wasted years. The first 9 years of marriage, first 9 years was trouble, trouble, trouble. Wasted years. Years spent on sin. Drinking, gambling, spending money, and many times, like the prodigal, spent all. Now, I don't look on my life with a desire to go back, with regret, but I look on it with regret and sadness that I wouldn't have had to endure it if I'd only listened to what God had to say. The 40th Psalm, verse number 1, says this: to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Thank God. He brought me up, thank God, out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. Put a new song in my mouth. Even praise. Thank God unto our God. Many shall see it. Amen. Fear shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more than can be numbered. I want to talk to the backslider, first of all, who's wasted years. Wasted years. We know that the years we spend in sin, amen, nobody gets up and vaunts them and brags on them. They're wasted years. We also know that when one backslides, it's not going to end well. We know all those things because we learned them when we were doing well serving God. So we know what's going to happen if we stop serving God. We're not ignorant. We know there's seasonal pleasure in sin. And we also know that what we sow, we're going to reap. We heard that over and over and over. Amen. These things we know, but you got to realize that when one backslides or gets away from God, there's a spirit that takes a hold of one's mind. And they override all those things which they know. What happens when one backslides according to the scripture? The scripture makes it real plain on what takes place when somebody loses out. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 14 sums it up. Proverbs 14 and 14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now, this scripture is not dealing with someone who would slip and fall. This involves his heart. The scripture says the backslider in the heart shall be filled with his own ways. His own ways, his own desire. The scripture said he's going to be filled up with them. God will give you all the desires and lusts you want. What's it say? You'll be filled. All you'll be under the influence of your wants, your desires. Amen. You want drugs? God will oblige you. Drugs are getting more and more available as time goes by. They're in our schools. They're in our government. They're in everything. Amen. And they're coming across the border just as fast as they can. You used to hear marijuana. You used to hear a coke. Cocaine. Heroin. But now we're way past that. We advanced. Now we're into meth. We're also into fentanyl. Those ones who used to know God thought they could leave God with the thought of trying some of these things. And when they would get sick of it, come back to God. The devil is always there to tempt you, young person. Or whoever you are, go out and just try it. See what it's like. Well, let me tell you something. I've tried it. And I have no desire to go back to it. Why? It's 100 times worse than when I was out there. Amen. They found it doesn't work that way. Why? Because when you go out and you go away from God, and God no longer is your satisfaction, your desires for satisfaction are amplified. What happens? People come to the place, they get so filled up, they get in bondage. And they can't even step out of their seat and walk to God anymore. They find something just holding them. Why? They're in bondage. Not only in bondage of a habit, and a bondage of coming to God. The flesh is powerful. And if you don't think so, you're deceived. Jesus had to pray 3 times to overcome what? The flesh. Let's read it. Turn with me to Matthew, the 26th chapter. 36th verse. Matthew 26, 36. Now we know that Jesus now is into Gethsemane. He said, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, set ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, as ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away. That's time number one. He went away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Three times, saying the same words. Now, we like to ascribe the Apostle Paul as one being close to Christ and the writer of approximately 14 books of the New Testament. And 14 of those books, they have been attributed to his penmanship. But what did he have to say about the flesh? He said in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. Amen. And bring it. Why? It don't want to come. Bring it under subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So I looked up the word castaway. Paul said, I myself should be a castaway. I looked it up in Strong's Concordance and Dictionary. And the word actually means this: unapproved, rejected, worthless, a reprobate. That's where the flesh can take you. Now I want to look at a few examples here. In Numbers 14:33, I want to read this verse. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Wasted years of 40 years of wilderness journey. Amen. Which was so unnecessary. 40 years. But then there was Judas. Luke 6:12 said, it came to pass in those days, he went out on a mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Judas will never be known for anything good, only a traitor. But you know he did good. He was just like the other apostles. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Amen. When he called unto him the 12 disciples, 12 of them now, he gave them power against unclean spirits, cast them out, heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of these 12 apostles are these. The first is Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, now look what's brought up, who also betrayed him. He will never be known for casting out devils. You'll never be known for casting out unclean spirits. You'll always be known as a traitor to Jesus. Judas was one of the 12 sent out with power. I read it to you, to cast out devils, heal the sick, but he'll never be known for any good, only for the betrayal. It's like those years of what? Just wasted years. Wasted years. Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verse number 11 says this, "Say unto them as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall his righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I say to the righteous, he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, amen, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it." Judas didn't die, didn't face God as a man of God casting out devils. He faced God, what? As a betrayer. But he did good. He did good. He was one of the 12. His name is mentioned. But always by his name, you find out, you read these words, who betrayed. Who betrayed. Who was a betrayer. Then there was King Saul. And when you hear his name, you don't think about the victories he won, but he did win victories. Saul did. He had victories as leader of Israel. But all when you hear the word King Saul, all you think about is his rebellion, his disobedience. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verse 3, says, "Now go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass." But what's he known for? Not fulfilling that command. Go to verse 9. "But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep, of the oxen, of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile refused, that he destroyed, that they destroyed utterly." But Saul did some good things. But if you talk about Saul, the good things don't come up. You don't say, "Well, I remember that victory he had over the Philistines." No, that don't come up. All that comes up is the disobedience. All those good years were wasted years. All the good he did as a leader was nothing but wasted years. Then there are those, we'll go from the backslider a minute. There are those who refuse to be saved and hold out for their own way. Ones have said in this congregation, other congregations, not only this one, for years, and refuse to be saved, and those years are wasted years. All you're doing is wasting precious time on that clock. Matthew 16:26 says this, "What is a man profited? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then Mark says the same thing. Mark 8:36, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is Jesus really saying? No one will gain the whole world. We know that. The world, the devil, and a man's own heart are opposed to his salvation. The soul that you got was made for God. That's why only God can satisfy. It can never, amen. And can never be united to him nor be happy till it is saved from sin. He who is saved from sin, united to God, possesses the utmost, amen, through that the human soul can enjoy, either in this, amen, or in the coming world. Therefore, salvation is the most important thing in your life. Luke 9:25. Now Luke says things just a little bit different. That's why I like the different gospels. Even though they write about the same thing, some puts a little bit more into it than others put into it, or they see it a little differently. Luke 9:25 says, Luke says it a little different. He said, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" There is a truth, a real truth that's found in Proverbs 29:1. And most of you could probably quote it. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." What's the proverb writer saying in this scripture? He's saying that if a man is reproved over and over with no response, that really he can expect something to come on him suddenly, which will have no remedy. And only God knows what that would be. I could go on and bring up names of ones who hear your, when you hear their names, you can't think of anything good. They were just wasting years of time while he's here on this earth. For example, if I would mention the name Cain, what do you think about? Well, he slew his brother. If I would mention Pharaoh, what would you think about? How he misused the children of Israel in Egypt. When you think of Ahab, what do you think about? Him and Jezebel, how he rebelled against God continually. If I bring up the name Jezebel, how she had such great influence over Ahab. And even Samson. When I mention the name Samson, what do you think about? Delilah. You don't think about all the victories. Comes to your mind, Delilah. And how he, amen, how he lost his Nazarite vow. I know he repented, but the time he spent with Delilah was wasted time. And what did it bring? Sudden destruction. Our scripture we read earlier said, "He shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." The scripture we see fulfilled daily in the lives of many. What are they filled with? He said, filled with their own ways. What do they fill with? Their own thoughts, their own desires, their own lust, their own ways of doing things. And it just fills them up. What's it amount to? wasted years. Wasted years, the songwriter said. Oh, how foolish. And when I think of my time back in sin, I would to God that I hadn't have done that. I had to fight memories that I wouldn't have to battle if I'd lived for God back at an early age. Now it's true, I didn't understand the message and everything like that, but I did have some knowledge of doing good anyhow. The life people are spending in sin is wasted years. You can sit here and sit here and sit here in this congregation, but there's going to come a time when sudden destruction is going to come. And when you go before God, you're not going to have anything to present to him but a sinful life. A life of wasted years.